T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's head out to the West Her Hotline as we'll bring in our own Sal Capaccio, who's down in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive to take in this afternoon's practice. Sal, good morning.
Good morning. I'll be there in just a few minutes. So, yeah, 11:30 Saturday practice, which is kind of different, obviously, but Saturday becomes a Friday when you play on Monday. Basically, you just kind of work backwards. So yesterday was more like a Thursday, even though it was a Friday, if that makes sense. So we'll have a quick practice today. We won't be able to watch much of it. I should say the media, for me, it's quick. But we already know that Dawson Knox has been ruled out of Monday's game. Sean McDermott met with us this morning via Zoom.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that, Sal, with just what Sean McDermott had to say this morning. You know, obviously, Dawson Knox, calf injury that he suffered against Tennessee. Really kind of bummed out about that, because I was really looking forward to seeing how maybe Dawson Knox would be utilized in a game like this against a Kansas City defense that, you know, obviously their run defense has been great, but, you know, I certainly think that the Bills could utilize a player like Dawson Knox through the middle there in this game to really gain those short yardage plays there. But what else was it that Sean McDermott said of any notice that you took in this morning?
Yeah, first of all, on the point about Knox, I agree with you. I think that this is the kind of game where a guy like that can make a difference, right? But I think the Bills also have another tight end in Tyler Kroft who is very similar. So I wonder if Tyler Kroft could, you know, play a role in this game, because this is going to be, by all accounts, you'd think, more of a higher scoring game. I mean, the over-under is the highest over-under in Bills history, by the way, at 57.5, which is amazing. So you never know. You might be able to find that matchup. And, you know, Dawson Knox, I think, an opportunity here, not for him, but for Tyler Kroft. So we'll see. And as far as everybody else, that's the only really negative news on the injury front. Everything else is positive right now. Now, we will get the final injury status of the week later today, Brayton, but it's looking good, I think, for guys like Tre'Davious White, John Brown, even Matt Milano, who I thought might be on the shelf for a couple of weeks. You know, he was a full participant in practice, not even wearing a red non-contact jersey. All of them, Sean McDermott said, we'll see about those guys and everybody else on the roster. But I think it's trending really well for all of those guys to play, and we will see later on today. Now, Tremaine Edmonds was wearing a red non-contact jersey, but Sean McDermott said, you know, it's just something he's going to have to deal with all year. They're going to take it on a week-by-week basis, the shoulder injury he's dealing with. So, you know, it's more precautionary than anything, but you still have to make sure he gets through the week before he can officially say he can play on Sunday, or on Monday in this case.
Yeah, Sal, obviously with the over-under you just mentioned being 57.5, I mean, that's absolutely crazy, just because both of these teams have had their offensive flashes, and both defenses have been, you know, less than up to par this year, I guess, with how they've performed. But this is something that I think that we haven't seen in a really long time in the first place, is a matchup going into a week where both teams are projected to put up these high offensive numbers. And I was saying this earlier in the week on a local podcast that I was on, that if this game features, you know, two teams that just came off of pretty bad losses against teams that they probably should have beaten the week before, they're going to go into Orchard Park this Monday, and they're just going to look to light it up. And if that's the case, I'm looking forward to seeing a game where both teams are putting up 30-plus points and maybe even getting higher, like an offensive shootout, which we haven't seen in Buffalo since I can't remember when.
No, I agree with you. You know, the thing that might slow it down a bit is the weather. I've been monitoring that, obviously, so I got to be down there in the moat. And, you know, it's looking like less likely of a chance of rain, but still a chance of rain. Actually, now I think this morning there was more of a chance than there was yesterday, but we could see some rain, and we'll see. Maybe that impacts, you know, the scoring affair that we're going to have or not going to have. But you're right. I think this is a game that sets up to have, I mean, look, you got a league MVP from a couple of years ago who became a Super Bowl champion last year, a guy who in Josh Allen, and that was obviously Patrick Mahomes, and a guy in Josh Allen who's playing at a league MVP type of level this year, and the way he's been kind of carrying the offense, the way the Bills have been scoring and attacking down the field. You know, we saw what the loss of John Brown did to this team last week, and they weren't able to strike as much and as often down the field. But if John Brown can play, you know, you saw what the Raiders did with Henry Ruggs getting behind the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think that's got to be in the Bills' plan. It's got to be in their arsenal to be able to take the top off the Chiefs' defense, attack down the field, and let's face it, that's the Bills' identity this year, and we all know that that's the Chiefs' identity anyway. They will be without Sammy Watkins, but they still have Tyreek Hill. They still have Mecole Hardman. They still have Travis Kelce. They still have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and obviously Le'Veon Bell will not be playing in this game. He was just signed by them a couple days ago.
Sal, I don't know how much you've watched of the Raiders-Chiefs game from last week, if you've gotten the chance to take a look back at any of the tape at all, but certainly it seemed like the Raiders' defense did a really nice job of containing that offense and containing Patrick Mahomes, because let's be honest here, Mahomes is the centerpiece of that offense. Anything that happens on the field is directly correlated to what he does. And it was amazing to from everything that I heard from people and the little things that I saw on Twitter, maybe, where, you know, the Raiders did a nice job of making sure that there was not going to be any breakout play or big play from Mahomes or the Kansas City offense that would have hurt them. And it was a huge factor in them getting the chance to beat the Chiefs and get another win, especially in Kansas City, too.
Yeah, 100%. Look, what they really did was they got there with four for the most part. Now, they weren't putting him on the ground a lot, but they made him move. They made him roll out. They got him off his spot, as they say. And if you could do that with four, and then you could have seven guys, you know, back cover it in coverage, underneath, over the top, whatever, that's going to really limit the number of options he has. And then once he starts moving away and he starts rolling out, now he's only reading even maybe half or three quarters of the field. It even limits even more the options that he has. And the Raiders did a really good job of that. You're never going to totally hold them back. I mean, they still got their chances. They still completed passes. They still made plays. But it really made it a little bit more frustrating for them. In a lot of ways, the way Tennessee kind of did to Buffalo, to be quite honest with you. But the challenge for the Bills here, Brayton, is I don't know if they can get to Patrick Mahomes with their front four, because their pass rush from their front four hasn't been that great. Now, maybe they'll find ways. Maybe they'll see something that the Raiders did on film for that offensive line and say, okay, we could do what they did here. So maybe the Bills can do that, but that's the challenge. If the Bills can get there with four, then that would really give them a much greater opportunity. The other part of it is, and you touched on it here, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a really good athlete, and I don't think he gets credit a lot of times, if people forget at least, how good of an athlete he is, not just a passer of the football. His dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher. You know, this is a kid that he played an air raid offense, spread the field in college, and now, you know, when he moves, he's mobile. He can get out. He can run. He's already, you know, in his career, he has some nice rushing stats. He's not Josh Allen, but he can move and he can get out there, and when he does have, when they do break contain with him running the football, it's still going to be a good 5-6 yards in the open field for him.
Sal, is there anything about this Chiefs defense that does concern you going into this game? Because obviously we saw Josh Allen, and we heard Josh Allen throughout the week where, you know, he said, you know, the decision that he made when he got picked the second time by Malcolm Butler, those little things he's got to be better with. Is there anything with this defense that makes you a little concerned heading into this game? Or is this one of those things where as long as the Bills are doing their job and executing and all the cliches that we hear from Sean McDermott and the rest of the team, you know, as long as they're going out and executing and doing their 111th on the field, that, you know, that we could see this high offensive octane game?
Yeah, I mean, their pass rush is good. They have good pass rush players, right? I mean, when you're talking about a guy like Chris Jones, we all know he's a really good player. You know, they can really get after you at times. And that's going to be a bit of an issue for the Bills to make sure that they contain that. But they did a really nice job last year. On the second half of last year, Steve Spagnuolo really did a nice job of galvanizing that defense and having them come together and play well. It was always kind of the Achilles heel of them when they've gone into this new era with Patrick Mahomes and outscoring everybody. They just couldn't hold anybody down. Now, look, it's still not a great defense, but they can make plays. And the other part of it is, you know, they have the ability to match you when you spread the field with their secondary players. They understood, and they built their team to be able to do that, basically knowing, hey, other teams are going to have to outscore us. They're going to basically attack. We better have good enough, stable enough secondary players to be able to spread the field and match them personnel-wise, and the Chiefs can really do that. But opportunities will present themselves. There's no doubt about that. But I would say, you know, the pass rush from the Chiefs and a guy like Chris Jones, if he can, you know, get going, I think that's going to be scary. The Bills are going to have a game plan to make sure that they can't get after Josh Allen.
Sal, with the Buffalo defense looking ahead now, we've got the potential, as you said earlier, we're likely to see Matt Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White back in the lineup as their practice status has looked relatively good throughout the entire week. With the way that they're coming back and how vital they are to the Buffalo defense, we saw Tennessee attack Buffalo, really nothing in the deep part. We saw them attack the middle of the field and really attack in the short game. How much is it going to really make a difference with these guys back in, so, you know, the middle of the defense isn't exactly going to be, or the middle of the field isn't exactly going to be as wide open for the Chiefs as it might have been if these guys weren't in the lineup?
First of all, let me also, by the way, just go back to my previous answer. I kept saying Chris Jones. I meant to say Frank Clark more than anybody. Sorry about that. Frank Clark. Obviously, Chris Jones is a defensive tackle, but for some reason I had him on the brain as I was looking at their starting lineup today. But Frank Clark is the guy you really got to worry about. Sorry about that. I kept saying that. It was just was just misspeaking. I wanted to make sure
good.
I got that clear. All right. So anyway, you know, the Bills were really challenged last week, obviously, without Tre'Davious White. Suddenly you have to have Josh Norman become your number one corner. And then a guy in Cam Lewis, who, even though he played some special team snaps earlier in the year, he had never played on defense in the NFL. His first snap on defense, he used to go tackle Derrick Henry. It's like, oh my gosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he played pretty well. And that's going to hurt you just from a standpoint of personnel-wise to make sure you're being in your depth chart. And then the middle of the defense, Tremaine Edmonds hasn't been himself. We know that. He has had a couple rough games. I thought he played pretty well considering everything on Tuesday night, but he is dealing with that injury. And then Matt Milano, I actually think Terrell Dodson is a nice, you know, fill-in for Matt Milano, but he's not Matt Milano. Matt Milano is a really good player. The Bills need all hands on deck for a game like this. I wonder if we see Cam Lewis play a little more in this game, whether that's outside, inside. Terrence Johnson had a rough night. I wonder if the Bills do rotate him in, give him a little more playing time. Let's see if he can, you know, give them something a little more that they didn't have in the secondary. Because with Tre'Davious White coming back, that obviously allows Josh Norman to go back to his normal role, which is a complimentary piece. And we think Tre'Davious White's going to come back, by the way. You know, but I think obviously it does matter. You just can't be down that many players in an NFL game and expect to be yourself on defense, and especially if that's a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that has weapons everywhere you look.
Sal, last thing I'll ask you before I let you go. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, he chooses to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs over the Bills. A, were you surprised by the move? And B, what do you think that does to Kansas City's offense and what he adds to the picture there?
It's amazing. You know, I'm not surprised he chose to go to Kansas City. I mean, he's a chance to win a championship there with that team. I thought maybe Miami would be the play for him because he does train down there. He's at home down there. Maybe he felt more comfortable just being down there. And the fact that, you know, they need a running back. The Chiefs don't need a running back, but they could absolutely use Le'Veon Bell because anybody could, just like the Bills. The Bills, I don't think, need a running back, but if you get a guy like Le'Veon Bell, it helps you. And I think what it does for Kansas City is it just puts another chess piece on the board that a defense has to worry about, really. I mean, that guy spreading the field from the passing game standpoint is just going to be another weapon at Patrick Mahomes' disposal. So, you know, there's only one football to go around, but anytime you can just add playmakers and elite talent like that, and I think he still is a really, really good talent. I don't know if, you know, he's going to ever be what he was a few years ago in Pittsburgh, probably not, but I think he is still very good. I don't think he had a chance to be that good in New York with given their head coach and their offense and, you know, what they have around him. But, yeah, that's just a big chess piece, and I'm glad for the Bills' sake they don't have to face him on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, right. All right, Sal. Well, thanks again for taking the time to join me here this morning. Enjoy the practice, even though it's a little cloudy out now. I think it is supposed to get better this weekend weather-wise.
Yeah, we'll see about Monday, though. Like I said, I know there's rain is in the forecast for Monday. I guess it's maybe around what time that rain is going to come. But otherwise, today, it's a very nice autumn/fall afternoon for a football practice. It's going to be a quick one. We'll keep everybody updated. We'll find out the official injury report for the game a little bit later today.
All right. Thanks, Sal. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. If you don't follow him on Twitter already, what are you doing?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.